This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.com. FM to get started.
Hey, After Buzzers, welcome to the Escape at Dannemora After Show. We are sadly talking about part 6 and 7, which means the conclusion to this crazy miniseries, but we're going to be discussing everything from flashbacks to bad parenting and almost making it to the Canadian border. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
This cool song.
Oh, man.
Is the credit song to Escape at Dannemora. Welcome to the Escape at Dannemora After Show. I'm your host, Leslie Powers, joined by my lovely co-host.
Hi, everyone. I'm Heather Geisler.
And we are so excited to get started and talking about the conclusion. Sad.
Yes.
Of this after show. But we also have some awesome stuff coming up later in the show, like our special segment called Escape Artists, where obviously we're going to showcase some people trying to escape from prison. Mm-hmm. And we have some news and gossip as well about what Ben Stiller is up to next. He is the director of the show, and also what it was like filming in this exact prison that they escaped from, which
Ooh,
is totally
cool.
Creepy. Yes, we're very excited. But I want to dive into some initial thoughts because this was a kind of strange ending to the miniseries.
Yeah.
We had a full flashback episode and then an like hour and 40 minute conclusion. So there was a lot of prison escaping happening here.
Yeah, the flashback episode caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And I really, really enjoyed that episode. And then it put you into kind of, at least it put me into kind of a weird mood going into their actual escape and getting re-caught. But, oh, it was gratifying for me.
I
loved it.
I wonder if they did that on purpose. Like, they really wanted to remind you, like, these are criminals.
Right. I felt like that episode only worked then. It couldn't have worked earlier on.
I agree.
Because we would have had a tainted view of all of them.
Yeah, because I feel like for the first 5 episodes, you've been really getting to know them. And I've really come to like them in some way, which is messed up. But we're all into serial killers these days and
Definitely.
Whatnot. So I'm not weird. But I feel like, we left off with them getting out of jail and kind of being left to their own devices and Tilly not being there for them to help. And so then you go into a flashback and it's like, oh, I've been caring about them and I want them to be out and do well. And then you realize, oh, they went to jail for a reason.
Yeah, and we got a lot of surprises in that episode. I did not anticipate any of that.
Well, like I said before in the last 2 episodes, I listened to this podcast with Ben Stiller. Stupid, 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 because I heard way too much. But I knew that they were going to show what they had done. But I didn't know when that was happening. So I knew what they had done, but seeing it was like a totally different ballgame.
I averted my gaze at certain points. I was like, oh, I can't watch this, but I need to. I can't watch this, but I need to.
It was pretty brutal. So, yeah, like I said, we left off with them getting out of prison, and then now we're seeing what happened to them before. So let's talk a little bit about these flashbacks. Because who doesn't love a good flashback? It's like Lost all over again. Mm-hmm. Did you ever watch Lost?
Yes, I did.
Oh,
from day one.
Oh, yes.
I knew that was going to be a good show.
Oh, it was so good. So David Sweat's flashback was first.
Yeah.
And did you...
Man.
Yeah, did you know, like, did you think we were in the present day because there was a cop involved? Like, did you know it was a flashback right away?
No, I didn't know it was a flashback. I definitely thought it was present day, and I thought we were going to see him catch them.
That's
what I thought was going to happen. And then I really cared for this guy.
I know. He was good. I can't pinpoint what that actor's been in.
Yeah, he was definitely familiar. I think True Blood.
True Blood.
I think he was in True Blood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I felt like I had a connection with him. And I was like, oh, man, you had to go and tug at my heartstrings and then kill him.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my husband didn't. I knew. I was like, oh, this has to be the flashback episode because it hadn't happened yet. But my husband said what gave it away is that he had a flip phone because he went, his wife called him. And that's what it was like, oh, this must be
smart.
Mm-hmm. A different time. Mm-hmm. So we see this cop kind of doing mundane things on, you know, his night shift. Except for when I watched it a second time around, I caught that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On the radio, they told him to be on the lookout for three white men in a truck. And there had been a fireworks burglary, mm-hmm. I think is what they said. Mm-hmm. But I didn't catch that until I watched it a second time around.
Got it. So he was already looking for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he goes and cleans up debris in the street. Mm-hmm. He, you know, clocks people for their speed. And then he goes home to see his wife. And they have this really cute scene. Yeah. And then he finds the three white men in the truck. And was it a gas station parking lot?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. And did you know it was David Sweat at first? Because they kind of shaded, like, he was in the dark. Yeah. They did that on purpose.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't want it to be him because I grew very fond of Sweat. Yes. Even until the end, I was fond of him. Yeah, but I thought it was interesting just the pace of going about his night shift and up until that point, and then it happened very fast and really like threw us into the episode. I didn't. I still felt I couldn't believe that he was running him over. It didn't to me. It didn't seem like it matched anything that I knew about him up until that point. Granted, I didn't know anything about him. But,
we're best
but
friends.
But I felt like he was. I thought he was in there wrongfully, almost.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think he did what, you know, he was actually convicted for.
Well, we see him, we see somebody, and it's kind of, like, shaded his face, but we see him shoot him, like, what ends up, it's 13 times, and then run this cop over. Mm-hmm. For what? For fun? I don't know. It was just so sick and twisted. I had no idea why he did that.
Yeah.
But then you realize the cop isn't dead. And so you see another man with David Sweat actually put a bullet in the cop's head, and that's what killed him.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I think David Sweat's been in denial and why he said on that phone call in the beginning of the series, like, they're calling me a cop killer. Yeah. And it's like, he really doesn't think he did that.
Right. Yeah, so he's not really in touch with that reality.
No, because he's like, no, the other guy did it.
Right. And I mean, the other guy probably wouldn't have shot him if he was finishing the job, essentially.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Sweat started it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was like, no. I was like, not Sweat. It's so sad. No,
take it back.
But yeah, he truly believes he didn't do it. So I think that that probably fueled his desperation to get out because he probably did feel like he was wrongfully convicted.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious what happened to that guy, the other guy that put the bullet in the head and the other guy that was with them.
Yeah.
If anyone's on the live chat with Heather right now and you want to do a little Google and tell us what happened to the other two guys, because I hope they're in jail and they were caught.
Yeah.
So then we move on to an even more fun crime with Richard Matt.
At least they led us up to that and didn't start with Matt.
Good point.
Because
that would have been rough.
Jeez, this was hard to watch. This episode was really difficult. These characters are so fully developed. Granted, they're real people.
Yes.
But, yeah.
But I really felt like Benicio del Toro was that character.
Yes.
He did such a good job. Mm-hmm. So I also heard in the podcast, apparently this was an employer who had done him wrong and had fired him. And so he had heard through the grapevine, this guy has money. Let me go rob him. Or, you know, torture him until he gives me money. But he was so hopped up. I don't know what he was doing.
Yeah. I mean,
drug-wise.
I mean, who knows?
Too many drugs.
Yeah. Clearly on drugs. And then it was surprising to me that he goes to, like, with him in the trunk, that he goes and has like hookers or whoever, you know, and then shows them. And it's like he really didn't care for human life. And no. It was just only proven even more when he ends up, you know, the way he ends up dismembering him. Mm-hmm. It just, yeah, he was somebody that I did not empathize with.
Yeah. I never thought he was a good person.
Right.
I just thought he was really charismatic, which is obviously why he got all of the perks that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I even put like picking up women and showing them the body. So dumb. Why? Because I would assume that they probably were somehow questioned when they eventually arrested him because they showed him this guy who was tied up.
I feel like he clearly wasn't thinking about getting caught. He did get scared because he watched that movie and then he was like, oh, I gotta go. Like, I'm gonna go do this and, you know, throw him into the lake. But he couldn't have believed that he was gonna get away with it. Unless he was just so drugged up that he thought, I'm like, you know, he was like powerful.
Oh, yeah. I feel like the drugs made him feel like very invincible.
Yeah. He seemed like proud of what he had done. I think I wrote that down that he was proud, like after he was celebrating what he was doing, which is, just so disturbing.
Well, yeah, because he duct taped this guy's whole face to keep him quiet while he was in the trunk, which I don't think he intended on that killing him. I think he was too messed up to be like, oh, that's going to kill him. I'm like, hello, of course he's going to suffocate.
Right.
So, then he watches this thing on TV that shows, like, a dead body, like, bobbing up in the water. Yeah. And he's like, oh, shoot, I got to cut this guy up into a million pieces and then they won't find him.
Right.
It's like, what if an arm washes up on the shore? Like, you don't think that's going to be a little weird and... But clearly this is why he has the nickname Hacksaw.
Right. Makes sense.
It all makes sense. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are like, why do they call him Hacksaw? This is why. But I was like, how horrible that this guy had to suffocate. And he didn't even probably have the money.
No, because I think in the end he believed that he didn't have the money and then he was just upset about that. And that's why he got frustrated and was like, well, now what can we do? I have to kill him now.
Yeah, what do we do with you now?
Yeah. So...
Well, on to a more fun topic before we move on. So, guys, before we move on to the next topic, we just want to say thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And for us to continue to grow, we need your help. So make sure you subscribe on YouTube, give us ratings on iTunes, leave us a comment. Because being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to me because I get to meet amazing people like Heather. We've done 3 shows together. Mm-hmm. And it's just been an all-around amazing experience to meet other creatives. So help us and thank you all for supporting us and doing what we love. So thank you, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
So on to another fun topic. We got to talk about Tilly's flashback because...
Tilly.
After I saw all 3 flashbacks, I was like, Tilly was the worst out of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
They might have murdered people, but she, like, ruined people's lives while they were still living.
Yeah.
It was really messed up.
Yeah, disturbing on a different level for sure.
Yeah.
Very...
manipulative and cray-cray.
Yeah.
Tilly's a little cray-cray.
Gosh.
I said, this woman is a hot mess. That was my note. Because it seemed like she had this decent marriage to this guy, which I didn't know that she was married before Lyle. Mm-hmm,
right.
And they had this kid together, and they seemed decently doing well, and they were working at what seemed like a sweatshop.
Mm-hmm, right.
I don't know what they were making. Did you catch what they were sewing?
I'm not sure, but I did think it was funny, the kind of role reversal, where she started off in kind of where the prisoners are now.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, definitely a sweatshop.
Yeah, it was some... Yeah, I don't know what they were making, but her husband works with her there, and then Lyle also works there, and it turns out she's having an affair with Lyle. So this is obviously a pattern.
I don't know why I was surprised.
I know, I was like, Lyle's there?
Huh? What?
Yeah. Lyle was the other man
right.
in the scenario?
And I thought her husband was kind of good looking.
Way better looking than Lyle.
Good catch, yeah.
That's what I couldn't understand, like, why... What was so bad about him?
But clearly it's not about the person, you know.
It's rush?
Yeah, the thrill and I don't know. She doesn't care she clearly doesn't care how she treats people. So, you know.
I think she just wanted to be wanted.
Yeah.
And Lyle probably ogled at her or something and she thought that was sexy.
Yeah.
I don't know. But she ends up having an affair with him. Her husband finds out. and he threatens to take their son. So her genius plan is to have Lyle confront him in the bathroom, but not reciprocate any physical punches. So it seems like this guy's dangerous.
Right.
Giving her a reason to take the son completely. But mm-hmm. then the husband signs his rights away. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he did that? Because he could have gone to jail. Like, I'll prosecute you for abusing Lyle if you don't do this.
I don't know. Maybe he was scared. Maybe he didn't want to deal with what Tilly could bring him.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Bring down the pain.
Right. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more that we didn't see of how crazy she could get, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but I did think it was absolutely terrible the way that she got him to sign the papers, you know?
Yeah, and so sad, because then the son's like, but I already have a dad. She's like, no, you're going to call Lyle dad.
Right. Yeah, he took a punch from me. I'll never forget that. Clearly, she doesn't live... None of these people live in reality.
No.
So, that was... Yeah, that was really hard to watch.
Yeah, it was. But I do think that the reason why maybe she couldn't give Lyle those pills, mm-hmm. I think this is like the deep-seated history they have together, that mm-hmm. he did do something so huge for her.
Mm, yeah.
That I really think that is the only way she loves him, or...
Yeah. She kind of remembered where they came from.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were kind of in it together.
Yeah, and then somebody at the sweatshop, I think, like, mentions the job at the prison. And so that those seeds get mm-hmm. planted that mm-hmm. obviously she can't stay there because everybody knows she's a cheater.
Right. And then interesting, knowing this now, that Lyle had to have known she was cheating when the rumors were going on.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting that he mm-hmm. chose to turn his head rather than confront her earlier on about it and really, like, make her say, yes, I'm having an affair or whatever, you know, doing whatever yeah. with the inmates. Because he knows.
Oh, yeah. I just didn't
He's the OG.
He was the first one. Yeah. Who knows if he's the first
yeah,
one?
Yeah, probably not. But
I just don't think he wanted to believe it.
Yeah.
I think he's like, we've been through too much. I've done too much for her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to believe
do
she
I
would.
Have?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why would she do this to me? So that wrapped up to episode six mm-hmm. with...
Very good episode. One of my favorites.
Really, mm-hmm. really cool. I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And then... So we're in episode seven where I was like, I don't mm-hmm. know how... I knew the ending as far as what happened to each of them, but I didn't know all the details. So mm-hmm. it was a freaking journey. It was like an hour yeah. and 40 minutes of just like edge of my seat biting. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, I was like, how are they going to survive in the woods with no food? Obviously, they were bouncing around cabins, but how long could you really do that for? And like, look, yeah. they're so thirsty and like ravenous. I'd like to have seen more of how that actually worked, because yeah. they were out there for so long.
I wondered what was in their backpacks, mm-hmm. like what they took out of the prison with them.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
like they could take a bunch of food and water.
Right.
So what did they take?
Right.
I don't know.
Their only belongings.
I know, which is like, what do you even have? Because they got most yeah. of it out of like commissary. And mm-hmm. I don't know. It was interesting. So we start that episode with like kind of the frenzy of day one of mm-hmm. like, okay, the governor's getting informed. Mm-hmm. Tilly got released from the hospital, and so I think she was ultra nervous because she knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And they kind of immediately come to her house. Mm-hmm. She's one of the first stops. Do you think they suspected her from the beginning, or do you think they were just interviewing everybody?
I'm sure just by asking around, then her name True. Would come up quite a bit, probably her and Jean.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then we see Jean like burning all the paintings that oh, yeah. Matt ever gave, and that probably killed mm-hmm. him to do that.
And Tilly cutting up the bathing suits and unpacking her suitcase. So, you know, they were smart enough to know they were doing wrong things
yes.
that could get yes. them incriminated.
Oh, 100%. So the police are obviously involved at this point. The governor gets to kind of go in the cell and go mm-hmm. down in the where the steam pipe is, and everybody seems rather impressed.
Yeah.
Like, by the situation.
It is impressive.
It was very impressive yeah. what these guys did. Mm-hmm. But then when we go and see the guys out in the forest, it's so interesting the role reversal that happened, because Matt was, like, the top dog in prison, and mm-hmm. Sweat kind of did all the grunt work. But then it seems like Sweat is, like, leading the...
Yeah.
Wherever they move, or, like, mm-hmm. hiding from helicopters.
Definitely more of the survivalist.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that they stuck together for so long. But then it does seem like you'd want that companion, and would feel like you could survive longer, you know, together rather than separate. But Matt, even in the end, he's still careless. He was just so careless.
So dumb.
You know, so I felt like his personality in episode 6 still matched his personality in episode 7, where he felt untouchable.
Yeah, because as they're going through the woods, like, even when they're hiding from the helicopter, he, like, won't leave his shoe.
Yeah.
And Sweat's like, leave the damn shoe.
Just no urgency.
No urgency whatsoever. So they're moving from place to place. My heart's pounding that whole time. Mm-hmm. So Tilly's getting questioned by the police. So she's at this grocery store and recognizes the police officer that came to her house and does the dumbest thing and goes up to him and she's like, I think I might be in a little bit of trouble of losing my job. And he was like, okay, let me read you your rights first. And she still didn't get it.
And she
tells him about the painting that Matt did for her. And you just saw that cop's face light up. Like, he was kind of like, will you call me if you think of anything else? Because this is clearly something.
She wanted to get caught, too.
Why? Like, I don't know. Why.
I feel like she probably felt guilty that she... Or maybe she thought she was helping them or something, but I think she felt guilty that she couldn't go pick them up or she had cold feet. Yep. And then she's like, well, what can I do? And I think she wants to talk about
it.
You know, she can't keep a secret. She wants to talk to somebody. And unfortunately, she goes to talk to the police, which is not good for her.
No, and apparently she did it 4 times in 7 days. So she kept going in.
Right.
And offering bits of information.
Not smart, clearly.
Yeah, I'm like wondering what the other times what she said. Like,
I don't think it would have mattered anyways, even if she didn't do that, but it just goes to show, you know,
what kind of person she is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I wonder if she told them about the meat, and I wonder if that's what led them to Gene, because I don't ultimately know who ratted on Gene, because he got in trouble.
Right.
So I don't really know. That's a guess.
Yeah.
And she also tells that officer that she didn't do anything in return for the painting. And the whole time I'm like, stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So the guys find a cabin. They spend one night there. But Sweat finds a bunch of booze.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to immediately hide them from Matt. And Matt's like, what is that?
Yeah.
And then he takes, like 3 bottles of bourbon with him?
See, it's...
Like, that's really going to bog you down when you're climbing through the freaking forest.
Yeah.
But I got to have my whiskey.
Yeah.
Come on.
He just doesn't care.
Yeah, I was like, he's just not very smooth about anything. So he just keeps getting drunk as they're walking through the woods, which is super frustrating. And then we finally see Tilly get arrested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she knows it. Yeah, she's like, they're there for me. They're here for me.
And she
take the chicken. You know?
She was so worried about the chicken.
Yeah.
Like, Lyle would have no way of feeding himself.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be totally clueless without her. She talks about the chicken. I put haha. We see her getting taken to the room where the whole series began, which I thought was super cool.
Mm-hmm. I like the full circle.
Yeah, because now it's all from we're looking at Tilly instead of looking at the back of her head. Because now we know everything. And at that point, it had been 12 days. So it didn't take them very long to
arrest her
and figure her out. So the guys find river water during the same time. And Sweat's like, it's bad. And Matt just drinks it anyway because he's a moron. So now he has to, like, totally poop his pants.
And Sweat cleans it up. What?
Yeah, so they find this cabin in another cabin. And he goes and totally ruins the bathroom. And he's like, dude, that's DNA. You're so stupid. And then he's like, clean it up.
It just gets progressively more and more unreal.
Yeah. I'm like, this probably actually happened.
Yeah. But honestly, at that point, Sweat finds the gun. And he could just, I say, just cut ties and be like, hey, man, I'll meet you on the other side. You know, like.
I'll see you in Canada.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
He doesn't. And I think that if he had earlier, he would have made it.
Oh, he would have made it 100%. Yeah, so he finds the gun, and then they also watch themselves on TV.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then Matt's excited about Tilly being arrested.
Yeah. He's like, she deserved it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got her. But also, I'm like, maybe she would tell them something. Like, hey, they told me they want to go to Mexico. Like, why would you be excited about that? She knows stuff.
Yeah.
But Sweat also saw that they were calling him a cop killer, and he's like, I didn't kill that cop. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
once again.
He still can't get over it.
No.
When it's not very vital to be worrying about that at that point.
Yeah, it's like, how the hell are you going to get out of this scenario? So they hear a guy and his dog come home because that cabin wasn't abandoned. Mm-hmm. There was like running water and everything. It's like, what did you think?
Yeah.
That this person was never coming back? So somehow they make it out. But I'm assuming that guy must have called the cops.
For sure.
And that's how they got to that area in general. So back in the real world, there's a lot of press around Tilly's house. They're kind of yelling things at Lyle. Her son goes to see her and asks, like, are the rumors true? Were you sleeping with them? And I don't remember what she says. I don't remember.
She doesn't deny it.
She just kind of avoids.
Yeah. She. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then he just says they can't get her out, you know, because of the bail.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They don't. She's like, that's a lot of money.
She's mad about it. Well, I mean, obviously she's upset about it, but
yeah.
Tilly is just
you're like,
out
do you think
this planet.
You know where you work.
Right.
Like, you know where your husband does. You know you're not going to get out. So they run away from this cabin, and when they're in the woods trying to figure out their next, you know, move or whatever, Matt tells that story about how he ran away from his foster home with a horse. And I'm like, oh, the horse.
Now everything makes sense. I totally forgot about the horse. No. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he rode a horse for like 12 days. And then,
oh, my God.
Thank you. Thank
just
you
like
that.
That.
Just,
I'm
yeah.
awake.
I was like, now we know about the horse stuff. So the final parts of this episode come when they are almost to a road and they see a cop.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt is like, there's our ride. Like, what was he planning on doing? Killing the cop?
Probably.
Because they had guns.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
He had a shotgun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where Sweat got the regular gun, Matt found the shotgun. Of course, it makes sense that he would find the shotgun.
Yeah, you know? Such a freaking weirdo. So they see the cop car, and so as Matt is, like, approaching the cop car, Sweat just starts backing away. Mm-hmm. And at first I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to leave him.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that's what was happening at that time?
I thought that Matt would catch on. I didn't think he would do it alone, per se, if Sweat started running the opposite way.
Or that he would turn around and be like, hey, where you going, man?
Right, or maybe shoot at him, you know.
True.
At that point, there was really no rhyme or reason with what he was doing. But it was a terrible idea. To try and go kill the cop or take the car and escape in a cop car.
I was just laughing because I'm like, you must be wasted to be like, this is our ride.
Yeah.
sure. This is our in a cop car. So Sweat makes a run for it. He no longer wants to hitch his wagon to this crazy person. Matt doesn't end up doing anything with the cop. Instead, he wanders after he realizes he's alone. He finds this motorhome and he kind of hides out there. So the next day, which is day 21... he's, like, camped out, like, watching the road, and he just sees a car drive by and just lets out a shot. So do you think that was to scare the person into stopping and then he was going to, like, attack them and take their car?
Yeah, I did think that he wanted to kill that person or just hijack the car. I did think he did that. But then he didn't really follow through
because he accidentally let the shotgun off again and it scared the guy. That's what happened.
Right, and the guy ran away.
And that guy probably called the cops and was like...
Yeah, for sure, because then they got him, like, right after that.
Yeah,
right?
And there were so many cops. It was, like, SWAT team and camo. And he's so stupid because he starts coughing. Mm-hmm. He's, like, trying to hide from them, and he starts coughing. And then they're like, show me your hands.
Yeah.
And he goes for his gun.
They were going to kill him. They were going to kill him no matter what.
It's like, dude, there's like 25 guys with guns pointed at you. You think you're going to kill them all?
I don't think he intended to go back to prison.
That's true. I guess he was like, I might as well just get it over with.
Yeah, because he was so just volatile and careless with all of his actions. So I don't think he really cared either way.
Yeah.
So I think he accepted it.
Yeah, or he's like, I'm going to go out with a bang and at least shoot at somebody.
Totally.
It's just so silly. I said that was his demise. They find him. And then meanwhile, Sweat is hiding out in this radio tower, and he hears on the radio that they've caught Matt. So he knows they're on his tail. They're somewhere close, but we don't really know where Sweat is at this point. We don't know how long he's been. I guess it's been 2 days, and he's been running. So he gets finally sweat, gets to the stretch of road, mm-hmm. and it looks so peaceful. Did you notice that?
Yeah. I almost thought, okay, is this kind of like the border right on yeah. the other side? Is this like his, you know, final move? I was like, go around. Don't go through the middle. What are you doing?
Out in plain sight.
What are you doing during the day? Or at least wait on the side or something.
Till night.
Yeah. I feel he deserved to get caught for doing that.
Yeah.
That was stupid. And I think he was just desperate. He had to have known that he was close because he was checking his compass and the maps and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And then he just got eager and greedy. And
Yep. Because then he crossed the road and sure enough, a cop pulls up.
Right.
Is like, hey. And he turns around. He's like, show me your hands. He turns around, shows the cop his hands.
Yeah.
The cop immediately recognizes him, I think, or just knew it was somebody that was doing something.
Yeah, I think it took like a second, mm-hmm. but then he definitely knew.
Like, this is David Sweat. Mm-hmm. So he starts running. He's like, I don't have a weapon. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to prevent anything from happening. And then finally the cop shoots him in the shoulder and that, you know, and what we hear over kind of like the news reporting is that he was just a few miles away from Canada.
Yeah, like 4 miles or something.
4 miles. Yeah. Could you imagine the rest of your life, the regret?
Did you want him to escape? Because I was rooting for him. I was like, go, go, go.
I mean, I thought it was absolutely terrible what he did to that cop.
Right.
But at the same time, he was just so... Mm-hmm. I don't know if he got like... What's the word I'm trying to look for? What do they say about prison? They want to like revamp them, rehabilitate. And I felt like he maybe had become a better person in prison for the 12 years he was in there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he would have done harm the way Matt would have if he
agreed.
So that it just made me so sad.
At least he didn't die. So
he didn't die. He didn't die, but. Then we, you know, we're back in the real world. So now we have Sweat in the hospital recovering. Bonnie Hunt's character comes as Inspector General to talk to him, and she asks him why he didn't leave the night before. You could have left. And then she says, because you made it 21 miles in 21 days with Richard Matt, but you made it 18 miles in 2 days without him, and he would have gotten away if you had left him sooner. Mm-hmm. So in prison, he says, your word is all you have.
Yeah.
So I never thought about leaving him behind.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, it really does.
But at least he has integrity, I guess.
Right. I mean, that's redeeming, you know.
This is why TV is awesome. Because they're complicated characters.
Yeah.
And so then we see Tilly talking to Lyle. She's about to have her trial. Mm-hmm. And Lyle says, your lawyer says it could be 3 to 7 years. And he says, I knew you were having an affair when you started ordering off the diet menu at King Walk. But then he acts like he's not really going to wait for her. He kind of gives her, he's kind of not as like nice Lyle as he was in the past.
He was finally cold to her and like, let me show you how much you hurt me.
Yeah. Good for you, Lyle.
Right. But then he's waiting for her.
He's still waiting because he's a sucker. And so the very last thing we see is Tilly reading her kind of plea to the judge to a prison guard, a young, handsome prison guard. And she's like, my lawyer says I have to sound apologetic. So she, you know, she's not even sad. She's not even sorry.
No.
She's like, do I sound sorry? And then he's like, well, I like to throw a party for prisoners before they go to their trial, if you're interested. And she doesn't say no, because she'll never change.
Mm-mm.
Tilly, you never change. You know she was going to get down and dirty with that guard.
Yeah. I wonder if that was accurate, if that's a true detail to the story.
It
ties it up nicely, you know, for the show.
It might not be. Mm-hmm. Well, that's everything we have to cover on these last two parts. I'm so sad.
I know. So satisfying.
Yes.
I really am satisfied with this.
Yes.
So
it was a very
great series.
Yeah, it was a great series. I love anything that is a true story. I think it's very interesting. Because then you can Google nonstop on what they're doing now.
That's exactly what I did.
So let's get to our special segment because we have another escapee to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yes.
They're getting out.
This week's escapee, I apologize for the pronunciation, Vasilis Paleokostas, Greek.
That's good.
AKA the Uncatchable, AKA the Robin Hood of Greece.
Nice.
So he is Greece's most wanted fugitive. And just a little bit about his background. He grew up in a mountain town village area, rumored to like not own shoes and very very rural. And he grew up stealing food for his family. So okay. Kind of reminded me of Aladdin
when I was
thinking about it, a little street rat. Anyways, he's known for kidnapping and bank robberies. Sometimes he would rob a bank 2 times a day. And he was never violent. And some of his kidnapping victims even had nice things to say about him.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. They were like, he's a very clever man, very nice, and His plan, he had a good plan.
You
know? Yeah. It's kind of funny.
He had a good plan.
So he kidnapped a Greek industrialist and a CEO for ransom money. And then the way he got his Robin Hood name is that he would actually give the money, most of it, to poor families in need.
Well, that's nice.
Right. So in 2000, he was convicted of kidnapping and robbery and sentenced to 25 years in prison. 6 short years after, he and an accomplice escaped via a helicopter.
It's like Fast and the Furious up in here.
His brother got a helicopter and landed it in the prison exercise yard. They climbed inside and took off. And the guards let it happen because they thought it was an impromptu visit from the prison inspector. They were like, how could anyone really escape by helicopter, you know? So they didn't do anything about it until they were already gone. They continued committing crimes and mm-hmm. were captured 2 years later. 1 year after that, they hadn't been resentenced yet or tried for those later crimes. They escaped again from the same prison via another helicopter.
How have we not learned anything?
Right. They knew that it worked the first time. So, yeah, the prison guards were like, this could never happen again, right? They could never escape again via helicopter.
But they did.
But Paleocostas was never captured, and he is still a fugitive.
I wonder if he's still alive. I'm assuming.
There's $1 million reward for him, so I wonder where he's at. That'd be really interesting to hear his story.
Yes.
The accomplice was reapprehended. He did not get so lucky.
So somebody had to get caught.
But, yeah, this guy. So there was a little poster that I found online is if he, you know, they talk about this being a Hollywood story.
Oh, it is.
So that, you know, he was titled The Uncatchable. And, you know, you see the helicopters and everything like that. So it is a very Hollywood story.
Yes, it is.
You know.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of more Hollywood stories, Syracuse.com reported what it was like for the cast and crew of mm-hmm. Escape at Dannemora to film in upstate New York, as they filmed in the actual prison, some of the mountains, the woods, the hills. So Dannemora, I guess, was the actual town. So it says going up to Dannemora, seeing the woods, the mountains, the hills, seeing the town, then seeing the prison and the prison wall. I don't think you know what it's like till you've been in, said actor Paul Dano in a behind the scenes video for Showtime. Escape at Dannemora was filmed on location in Dannemora and other parts of the area, including a cabin where the escape convicts hid out, which is super cool.
Mm.
And where Sweat was recaptured. One scene includes the actual manhole outside the maximum security prison where Sweat and Matt use power tools and an elaborate series of tunnels to escape, mm-hmm. sparking weeks-long manhunt. So Ben Stiller told USA Today he based much of the script on the New York Inspector General's report on the escape and interviews with Sweat, Joyce Mitchell, and prison officials. So several real-life people involved in the manhunt, including a tactical team, a sheriff's deputy, a nurse, and a man who came upon the convicts hiding out in his cabin. Mm. Ben Stiller said, my goal with the show was to have it be as accurate as possible, and I felt the best way to tell the story would be to have as many people of the real people who actually went through it.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually got to talk to David Sweat. And I guess he still sees himself as the mastermind, brilliant person behind all the smart things that were done to escape. And also, he acts like he's an innocent person. Mm. But he says by a bunch of unfortunate incidents that were out of his control, there he is. And that's kind of the sociopathic game.
Yeah. Wow.
I also just want to say congratulations to Ben Stiller for winning Best Director for a limited series or TV movie at the 71st Director's Guild Awards. I was like DGA over the weekend. So congrats to Mr. Stiller. Yeah. And coming up for Ben Stiller, he has a lot of things in his slate for 2019. Under his banner of Red Hour Films, he is executive producing the TV show In the Dark about a young blind woman trying to solve her friend's murder. And he's also producing three films that are currently in post-production, Friendsgiving, Dinner in America, and Plus One. So we will be on the lookout for all of that. So instead of predictions, I just want to let you guys know really quick where everybody ended up in this story. Tilly ended up pleading guilty for her felony charge, so she's currently serving her sentence. Jean Palmer served only 4 months for misconduct. Lyle is waiting for Tilly to come home. Sweat was transferred to a prison in Buffalo where he's under 24-hour surveillance in solitary confinement. Yeah, so for years now, he's been in solitary confinement. And Matt's body was claimed by his children, whom he had sent some of his art to before he escaped.
Yeah, and then we got to see some of that.
Some of the art. End,
yeah.
It was like George Bush and Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Very strange
like
things.
Like a cat crying in a basket.
Well, that's it for us, guys. Heather, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at 500 Days of Heather.
And you guys can find me at LesliePowers15 and on Instagram at LMPowers15. And as always, I'm your host, Leslie Powers. And Heather and I have had such a great time doing this show.
Truly.
Thank you guys so much for watching.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.